Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Fred.
What's a mason?
That's a really good question, Fred.
You've reached the internet's home for all things masonry. Join Chris and I as we plumb the depths of our ancient craft. From the common gavel to the trowel, nothing is off the table. So grab your tools and let's get to work. This is On the Level.
Well, Chris, we are back.
Yeah.
This is day three, day two of our trip to D.C. Where are we at? Where are we? Who are we?
I don't know, man.
It's Saturday. Saturday afternoon.
This is the last day. Yeah.
This is the last day.
We're about to go to the installation of Potomac Lodge number 5.
Yeah, we're going to see the gavel. The gavel presentation.
Washington's gavel will be there.
We'll be there. We will be there with the gavel. That's awesome. Hey, we just came back from the Washington Memorial.
What'd you think?
I was, impressed.
Right?
Impressed. We'll be posting some pictures of the actual facility, the grounds and everything. What an impressive place, man. I was blown away. You walk up to it and the building, the mount, the building and everything is so impressive.
It is.
Then you walk into that first hall. And you're just like, you're speechless. Absolutely. Yeah. I was speechless, which is very rare for me. I was
very
absolutely speechless. And then the more you tour it, the more it becomes it's just more and more and more.
Really,
it never stops.
It is a memorial to his Masonic life. So you see all of it.
Yeah.
I brought my wife there a few years ago.
Right.
And she was like shocked that they don't teach any of that part of his life in school.
Right. Oh, yeah.
She's
that's
like,
right.
How have I never, ever, my whole life, heard of Washington, my whole life, but I never once heard any of this.
Right.
How? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know, because it's right here.
It's
all here.
It's all here.
You can see this man was incredibly tight. And many of the founders were just as tied to Freemasonry as he was.
Yeah, well, the whole town was. The whole colony was.
Is. Still.
Yeah, I mean, it was very Masonic. It was a huge part of daily life. You know, and our founders were very much united, you know, in the fraternity of Freemasonry, man. And I to answer your question, blown away, speechless. What a beautiful monument, you know, to our first president and to Masonry and his career in Masonry. So we've got a lot of stuff. We're trying our best to produce as much as we can while we're here.
It's hard. There's like
hard.
How many 50 Masons or something
right.
up here.
Yep.
We're all
yep.
in one hotel. Everybody, there's some plan things. And
yeah.
Other people
oh, man.
Are running in different directions doing things.
Right, right.
But, you know, when we went up to the memorial, Washington Memorial, we just happened to have breakfast with a brother that we met like the day before.
Right, right, yeah. No, that was the Capitol. Yesterday, Capitol. You talking about the Capitol? Yeah. So
at the Capitol.
Cafeteria,
yes, right.
We were having lunch, and we ended up
with
Let me tell you,
Fred was very happy to be in the Capitol building.
Oh,
it's not
my house.
He was just a ray of sunshine the whole time.
I'm sorry. It was not
just
my favorite place.
Loved everything about the place.
Just don't agree with nothing that those guys do anymore
there.
Yeah. So they don't do much. They certainly don't do their job anymore, but that's a whole different story.
But yes,
I'll spare everyone my political banter on that end of it. But I was glad that finally we ended up at the cafeteria. We were having lunch.
Finally, we did.
And we ended up having a great conversation.
Sure. With
the new brother that we just met. And the conversation was just one of those on the level with Fred and Chris kind of conversations where we were talking about stuff that most people don't want to talk about. We were touching on religion and science and politics.
We were more than touching on religion.
We were just digging deep, man. And we were just over lunch. We do this all the time. This is what the show's all about, being able to communicate what we believe, why we believe it, with gentleness and respect, with a view to the other person's you know, thoughts and ideas, man. And because that's what... You know, if Masons are anything, that's what we need to be. We need to be able to communicate what we believe, why we believe it, to each other and to the world without fighting, arguing, harming anybody.
We don't
and
make
growing.
Progress unless we challenge the establishment.
That's right. Yeah, we. That's
in our
right.
mind in society, you
right.
have to challenge the establishment.
We are
that's
anti
how progress gets made.
We are anti left versus right ideology, man. There is no left versus right. People have different opinions. People have different ideas, but all of it is based on we are human beings here on this planet, and we're all walking in the same direction. And
some of us,
if we are
it.
Masons. We should know better. We're supposed to know better. We're supposed to hold ourselves to a higher standard of conversation and conduct. And that was very much on display at that cafeteria at the Capitol building, probably the first time since George Washington walked its halls, in my opinion. But it was an open conversation about many different things. And the brother we're talking about
Who
is sitting
that
right
guy?
His name is Jonathan Green.
Oh, yeah.
And he is here
right
with us today.
Hey,
Jonathan, how you doing, brother?
Hey, fellas. How we doing, fellas?
We're good. We're very good.
Thank you for having me. It's a great honor.
No, it's a great honor. So
you didn't
so,
even know it existed until yesterday. It couldn't be that great of an honor.
Well, yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
In fairness, I've been raised for about 15 minutes.
So. Right.
Okay. What time is it?
You're about a year, right? You said
6 months.
Six months. Yeah. You know, there are brothers. We come across brothers all the time where, you know, you talk about where they're at and what they're doing in masonry. And we're thinking in our heads, well, this guy's been at it 5 years. This guy's been at it 6 years, 6 years. And Jonathan's one of those guys, you know, he's been at it 5 minutes and
you
he's already
months.
Down through the line. He's already researched and learned so much.
It ain't the years, it's the miles.
That's right. Yeah.
Always
and the passion. And the passion. And that's one thing you have. You have a real passion for the craft.
Us.
Yeah, it struck us for sure. So tell us a little bit about first your kind of your personal background. I know you do a lot with statistics.
A
military man. Give us kind of a quick overview of who are you, man, and where you come from.
Well, sure. So, I mean, my interest in masonry goes back a long way. My grandfather was a South Carolina Mason.
Okay.
And a Scottish Rite Mason.
Do you know
South
where
Carolina.
In South Carolina?
Yeah, James Island.
Wow.
So he was,
we pronounce that there. South Carolina.
He was
South
Carolina. He was the fire chief on James Island for 30 years.
Wow, so no kidding. Okay.
Very, very prominent Mason. And so as a result, I've been loosely interested in esoterica since I was a teenager, you know.
Just
the symbols that I see on his walls and stuff sort of led me to begin to read about that. But just who I am, you know, I have an MBA, I have a master's in statistics, so I'm a marketing consultant, specifically a paid traffic consultant. So I run Facebook ads for people.
Right.
And, you know, and obviously I have a couple of graduate degrees. So I research for funsies, basically.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
And obviously you've done a considerable amount of research regarding the craft. And some of the esoteric rabbit trails that you've gone down have really paid some dividends as far as learning and education goes. I saw that yesterday during our conversation, man. It was really, really deep. It was awesome. And it was
it's fun to talk.
It was a lunch conversation.
Who's done some research.
I've also been to seminary, so I have a perspective on comparative religion, you know.
Hey, it's Johnny.
Johnny just showed up. Johnny, how are you?
Johnny Schaefer, the show's
sponsor. Now he'll just drop the mic if we give him a mic. Don't give Johnny a mic. He'll just drop the mic.
This is our Three Ruffians representative who's
apparently
the sponsor, laying out some Three Ruffian cigars here.
All right. Anyway,
you're a cigar aficionado.
Yeah, I'm a big cigar guy.
You were curious to try some of these.
Yeah, we actually, Brother Christian Kiefer and James Vick started, I don't know if they started it, but certainly they introduced me to the Brothers of the White Ash up in Jacksonville.
Okay. Never heard of them.
Thank you. Which is, I think, is something they're interested in proliferating. So
White Ash. It's like a cigar thing.
It's like a very loose, appendant body where we just go smoke cigars, pretty much.
I love that, right?
Yeah. We actually made a shrine club?
A unit. It's
shrine
a unit. Shrine unit. Yeah,
the
it's
Three Ruffians.
The cigar and whiskey unit at Sarasota Sahib Shrine.
There's some white ash in there.
There's some white ash going on in there. And, of course, we kind of went dark because of the holidays and stuff. So we're coming here pretty close to January's coming up on us soon. We'll fire it back up. It's the same idea to just bring people together, you know, Masons together for, you know, premium cigars, whiskeys, to sit down and talk. And the conversations we're hoping will always go the way our conversation went, you know, down those roads.
Educational,
and just getting people to think, man. We don't think in this country anymore. And, you know, I have little tolerance anymore for people who espouse all of these opinions, and then you ask them questions about it, and they don't know. They can't give me any real answers, you know.
Yeah, I think most people toe whatever philosophy was handed down to them.
Or, right,
you know, it's like sports
from their parents. And
I was born in Buffalo, so I have to be a Bills fan.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Which, you know, as long as it wasn't Philadelphia, I think that's fine. Because,
I totally agree with that.
Johnny, a little shout
Nothing
out to
good
Johnny
came
over
out
there.
Of Philadelphia.
Yeah. So if any other town, you're
back.
Fine. But
take
if you're you should abandon that team. No, just kidding, Johnny. Johnny would rather die.
He doesn't have a mic.
Johnny doesn't have a mic.
It's not fair.
We didn't set up a mic because we're interviewing Jonathan Green right
now. The other Johnny.
Yeah,
it's okay. I don't mind sharing.
No. And do people call you Johnny?
No. Almost everyone calls me Jonathan.
Jonathan? Yeah. Oh. Well, you're a big guy. Yeah. So they call you what you want them to call you because they don't want you to gong them over the head.
You're
Little John. Yeah, Little John, right? Yeah, it's always hey, it's always Johnny. And we'll call him Big John.
I was even larger. Like when I took my entered apprentice degree, I was 385 pounds.
Wow.
And you're like 6'4", yeah, 5", yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and I'm 295 now, so I've lost 90 pounds.
What's the reason for that? Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my health was just terrible. Uh-huh. You know, I was type 2 diabetic, and my A1C was like 11.
Yeah, that's bad.
Some crazy number.
That's very bad.
Wow. So, yeah, how old are you?
I'm 43.
Okay. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So I lost 95 pounds, and now my A1C is 5.6.
5.6 is acceptable. Funny? Yeah. Kinda, yeah.
What'd you do? Just eat a little better?
Eat a lot better.
Yeah, eat a lot better.
But also, you know, you have to go get the panels done because my testosterone was 100.
That's low.
Yeah, real low. And I had Hashimoto's, which is thyroiditis.
Right. So, yep.
And I wasn't eating badly. And I was like, why am I not losing any weight? Or why isn't this happening for me? Well, you know, I'm insulin resistant and I have Hashimoto's. And so,
Go hand in hand, they feed off each other. That's right.
And once I got that taken care of, you know, I was just continuing to do what I've always done and I just lost a whole bunch of weight.
Right. Exactly. Once insulin is lowered and stabilized, then you can lose weight. You cannot lose weight in the presence of insulin. That's a hormone that causes you to store fat when insulin is high, because that's one of the safety mechanisms that it was designed into our bodies. You know, I was a type 2 diabetic a decade ago and I was in bad shape. I mean, I'd be dead today. And I made a decision to change that, and I worked really hard to overcome it.
Right.
And I did. Now, this last year, Chris and I were talking about this just recently. This last year, I've let it go. My A1C was 4.7. It was very low. Yeah. And all my numbers straight across the board, I had the blood work of a 35-year-old is what I was told, a healthy 35-year-old. And I worked hard at it. This last year, I kind of let it go. So this new year, I'm one of those guys that makes New Year's resolution and actually keeps them. So apparently that's not the trend. So this year, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to jump back into my program and get myself back in health too, because when I'm eating right and exercising right, I'm unstoppable, man. I am absolutely unstoppable, and this has been a stoppable year for this old man. So I'm going to get back to that. I don't know how I got down that rabbit trail. So share a little bit. What are you passionate about with regard to our craft, man? You're a young Mason. So tell us kind of what's your vision? What do you want to do in masonry?
I'm not really sure what I want to do yet as far as, you know, along to like a 20-year plan or something. I don't really know. I can tell you right now, I really enjoy the esoteric aspects of the fraternity. Okay. I love a ritual. So the three degrees of the Blue Lodge have been like breadcrumbs for me to empower me to research and just go down the rabbit hole.
Right.
Which I do with great zeal. You know, I love that sort of stuff. So I'm fun at parties, you know. I have a whole bunch of like Masonic fun facts just from the research that I've been able to do so far. But I reckon in pretty short order, I'm going to have to get into the Scottish Rite or something, or I'm going to get fairly bored.
I would recommend that's where you go first.
Yeah. Yeah. After your first year, I've always heard it say, you know, do a year Blue Lodge, 1 year, don't do anything.
Or wait until you're out of the progressive line.
Or
that might be another good decision because you'll be very busy.
Yeah, because or dedicate yourself to getting your cards.
Get your cards in. He's got to build up a lodge. Yeah. You're going to have to start bringing in new members.
Yeah.
You're going to need to do 3 EAs a month for a long time before you bring that thing around.
My Masonic mentor is Linwood Thomas, whom some of your listeners will know.
Yep.
He's involved with MLT at the zone level. And I think he's probably going to get a promotion here shortly. And so, you know, he's driven me to be very conscientious about that sort of thing and dividing my time and paying attention and being present, you know, and not spreading myself too thin.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do that in masonry. There's just so many interesting things. You're just like, because I just wanted all the degrees. That was my thing when I joined.
Right.
I just want to see all the degrees because I'm tired of my wife's family telling me, oh, you didn't get all the degrees. So that's where their reptile people live in that degree.
And right. Like, yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll get them all.
Yeah.
And then you won't, you know. So I got them all, and lo and behold, there's no baby-eating Satanism in any of the degrees.
It keeps coming back to good men trying to be better. That's weird. What's the secret? Well, that's the secret. We're trying to help each other be better men. Sorry Yeah, right. So you talked a little bit about, and you mentioned it, Chris, that you're coming into a lodge that's going to need some new young blood,
right,
and it's going to need some people to get in line and
that's
start making their way through.
Pretty much every lodge is in that kind of.
Every lodge is in that, and everybody who ends up in that situation begins to meet with resistance along the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we talk about it all the time, the old guard and the new guard. There's this process of, you know, of giving way. And there's a resistance, you know, along the way. I know,
right,
Chris, you went through some of that along
yeah,
your way, just a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
And we know other brothers. We talk to other brothers
it's
all
really
the time.
It's really never stopped. There's always resistance.
There always is. There always will be, sure.
But it's like you have to get some wins under your belt.
Yeah.
You can't go swinging for the fences. You got to get to first base. Got to get to second base.
Yeah, I like that
and
analogy.
Eventually, you'll get there. But it's one step at a time. So we've been taking those steps. And I'm really excited to sit with a new brother who I'm now coming out of the East and you're just getting into the line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like we have similar backgrounds from a marketing perspective,
right,
also
yeah,
similar thinking about the craft in general, both extremely zealous. And I'm like thinking in my mind, man, I thought I would have made it easier for someone like you.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So I'm really sad to hear that you're still meeting the same resistances I met 3 years ago. 4 years ago.
Well, I'm suffering from ignorance. Like I didn't know that you guys were out there doing this. And had I known, I would have come to you before I started trying to push my agenda.
Right.
Because you have already done, and not for nothing, bringing you into the lodge and having you show the brothers that, look, what this man is talking about is going to pay dividends.
Right.
We're doing it. It is working.
You've been talking about it. They just
right,
need to see that other lodges have done it.
And
it's worked.
And you're telling them things they don't want to hear. Like, for instance, you know, the average age is this. And I told you this story earlier. The average age is this, and these are the guys. And if you don't make changes by this time next 10 years, there won't be a lodge here anymore.
No.
And they'll believe it. You can show them the numbers, and they'll agree with the numbers.
No.
And then they'll look at you and say, well, so?
Right.
Right.
A lot of people have this idea in their mind of it's always been here and it'll always be here.
Right.
It doesn't
yeah,
matter.
It's we don't need to do any actual
survive,
work.
Right? It'll be fine. That's
yeah,
what they tell you.
Right.
Well, let's get into it, shall we? Can we just discuss like the modality of communication,
right,
the way that human beings interact,
yeah,
has vastly evolved over the last 20 years in particular.
He certainly has.
And Freemasonry was always spread through the nuclear family and the backyard barbecue,
yeah,
and these sort of modalities.
Bumper sticker.
And the bumper sticker. And these things just don't exist anymore.
Right.
You know, and so if we continue to try to leverage the same sorts of activities to grow the craft, we're going to continue to get the same result, which is what, a roughly 10% year over year decline in membership.
Yeah, it's accelerating, but yeah, it's not great. We are not replacing the brothers who are passing,
right?
Or demitting.
We're not even at zero yet.
Right.
We got to fight to get to zero.
And none of that is said disrespectfully. You know,
no.
All
no,
due respect to the men who have dedicated a lifetime to growing and sustaining the craft, for sure.
Absolutely.
But now we're dealing with generations that don't even communicate in the same way. They don't even have the same predispositions towards community that we're used to.
No.
And so if you want to engage them, the impetus is upon you to do it on their terms.
Yeah. As Chris and I did a symposium in Hillsboro last year together. And one of the themes that we talked about was the future. Now what? Freemasonry, now
that
what?
That was our whole thing.
That was the whole thing. And it was, you know, the questions we asked of the group.
Because everyone does a speech on some historical
right,
thing.
And
some
and,
cool thing some guy did in the past.
And
right?
we're jumping
and
to the
like,
future.
Hold on a second. We're here. We're alive.
Yeah.
We're Masons. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we doing like these guys did?
Yeah. And the question that we asked was do you care if your lodge is here in 20 years?
Ooh.
Do you care? And we could see it. Now the brothers at Hillsboro are solid. Shout out to Worshipful Carol, man.
Solid lodge, solid
people. And they get it. And I could see it on their faces when we said that. I do want my lodge to be here in 20 years. And then the second part of that question is, well, what are you doing today to make that a reality?
Right.
And then we talked about, you know, that the bumper sticker and billboard of the modern age is Facebook. You know, we talk about the billboards, you know, spending thousands of dollars on billboards, which is old school, top of mind consciousness advertising.
Right.
I used to be a part of that. I'm an old man. I'm an old school marketer. I remember those days. It worked. It used to work because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have access like we do today. And
everything
that was our concept.
Like We grew up watching ABC, Channel 2, Channel 9,
three
Channel
7, channels, right? Bro.
My son and my kids grew up watching YouTube people.
Right.
They didn't even watch television.
Right.
They watched
kid
other people on YouTube doing things. And
right.
That was their entertainment.
Yeah.
It's totally changed. Everything has changed.
Yeah.
How we communicate, how we receive entertainment, how we even work. I'm getting notifications on my watch now.
Right, right.
And I can look at a website on my watch while we're having a conversation. Like, well, things are different now.
It's to do with locus of attention. If you think about the way in which people engage with their environment,
right?
You know, some of these outdated modalities like outdoor or radio or television just don't work the way that they used to. And I get the predisposition to be present in the idea that we want to be present and available at top of mind when people are, you know, doing whatever. But what we need in modern Freemasonry is conversion modality,
mm-hmm.
right? You see, we need to inspire people to take a specific action,
right? Right.
And if you're in your car and you're driving down the street and you see that billboard, even if you're in a good mood and you're not preoccupied, you don't have the modality, the ability in that moment to engage with the content and take a desired action. Where and not for nothing, it's expensive. So now
crash
we're spending
your car while you're looking for a pen so you can write it on your hand.
Right. Even if you drive by it on your way to work every day, it's going to be, I need to do that. Yeah, I need to do that. After a while, it's like, you don't even see it anymore.
Right. And it's expensive for what it is.
Yeah,
so now we're paying $2,000 a month to have a billboard up, which stone cold nobody can engage with.
Right.
And, you know,
you'll never measure.
Just to give you an idea, as a digital marketer, as a paid traffic consultant, I can generate, you know, meaningful video views for 2 cents.
Right.
So,
right.
like, if you give me a 3 zip codes that surround your lodge, I can absolutely saturate that market with video impressions of meaningful conversations.
Right.
About what are men doing in masonry? How is masonry affecting the community? How is it affecting the individual man?
Right.
And I can do that for about 2 cents per impression, which is to say hundreds of thousands of impressions in a modality where people are predisposed to engage.
Right.
Right. And take mm-hmm. action. And so that's, I really think we're doing some of the wrong things, which is a surprise to absolutely no one at this table. Right. I'm preaching.
No. You are where we were a year and a half ago.
Right.
And this is beautiful. This works out great. I hold to providence. Providential.
Some progress. So the Grand Lodge has their
own
absolutely. Marketing reimbursement program. Now.
Which we are members of the committee.
Yeah.
For this coming year.
I'm dying to hear more about that.
I can tell you will. I'll give you the elevator pitch right now. So you do a lead generation ad using your Facebook's page.
Use a lead form.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. It. Use the video to capture the attention.
Right.
A quick 30-second video. You target the demographic. You target the radius.
Yeah.
And you run that ad. And it costs about $2 to $3 for the leads that you generate. And then you call those guys, pre-qualify them, have them come to the lodge if they're interested in learning more, mm-hmm. which they are because they saw the video and they clicked it and they gave you their information. And you sit and talk with them. And the purpose of that is to see if you want them in your lodge. Imagine that. Imagine you don't have to take every guy that comes because
the main
desperate.
Argument's going to be these are crappy people.
I get that is an argument you will get. Yes, right. We get it all the time when we talk about this.
But we're playing the law of averages here.
I had we're gonna a past onboard. Grandmaster tell me, would you co-sign a loan for this person you're bringing in? And I said, most worshipful, with respect, I wouldn't co-sign a loan for my sister.
Right.
That's a dumb question. Plus, I've seen our own grandmasters removed from the fraternity.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that you can tell who's a good and a bad person from a one-hour conversation.
Right.
And
it's just
judgment on them.
We're going to do a background investigation.
We are.
We're going to do the best we can with the tools we have. But
right.
to do nothing is not an option.
If you have a conversation and they're talking about Aleister Crowley sex magic, and this is the who that, you know, okay, maybe I won't sign your petition.
Right.
You like to think about little kids too much. I'm not going to sign
I'm
your
not
petition.
Gonna sign it. Yeah, we've gone through that.
And then we'll do a background check. And if you have committed a felony, we'll know, and you will not become a Mason.
Right.
And if you've committed any other serious crimes, the brothers need to hear about it. You need to answer for it. And if it's acceptable, maybe you're good enough now. Maybe you're not.
I would argue that the appropriate filtering for low-quality people is not after the lead form. It's in the content. It's in what you choose to syndicate and why. And if you craft the right narratives at the top of funnel to use a marketing term,
the kind of person you want to attract will be attracted.
Right.
To
that's
them.
Right.
That's, exactly
that's right. And that's the beauty of this digital age and the talents that you two have, you know, to understand this and also to articulate it in a way that makes sense. At least it makes sense to me, but I've been in marketing for a long, long time as well.
No, it makes sense to even people that don't have it. I think they get it. they're just fearful of it.
They're fearful, yeah.
And that fear is getting in the way of progress sometimes.
They kind of like, it's like, sorry, I have, my reputation is at stake here, and I'm only here for a year. So if it doesn't work, then it's kind of my fault. I don't want to do it. You know, it's like, well, that's the wrong attitude.
Do you think Washington would have had that attitude?
Heck no. I don't think so at all.
What you're talking about is an entrepreneurial mindset.
It absolutely is.
As opposed to an institutional
mindset. An institutional mindset. You're right. That's exactly right. And that institutional mindset, that you get stuck. You know, you get stuck because your bread and butter is getting to this era, this time frame. That you're not, you know, your bread and butter isn't producing A, B, C, and D. It's this span of time. Yeah. You know, it's your 1 year. You know, I got to get through this 1 year. And as long as I can, I want to be responsible for new carpets. And I want to do a new big carpet at the front entrance, and maybe this, that, and the other, and change a few things. And if I can accomplish that, then I can walk away saying that I was a good worshipful master. Well,
I guess, yeah,
you don't have enough men to,
you
know,
the bar for success,
right? Yeah, you know, it's like, it's good that we're revisiting this entire conversation, because we're at the point now. I told you this when we were at the monument. We're at the point now where the system is working, and we are making new Masons
right.
all over our district and all over the state because of the program.
We've
now
been people from other jurisdictions and other countries,
because
they hear what
this.
We're doing and say we want to do it in England,
yeah. Right?
We want
yeah.
to try this
yeah.
in Iowa.
And
well, do continue to unpack it, because you only gave me the first piece. The top of funnel is the Facebook lead ad,
right?
What other apparatus do you have built around this? Because, look, I'm pretty good at this, but I don't want to reinvent the wheel if you're doing
it. Exactly.
Yeah, no, you don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Take what we did and make it better. That's right. What you want to do. And you guys can do that.
You know, lead generation is phase one, but then like John's on the committee, he makes the phone calls.
John who?
Mr. John Schaefer.
Mr. John Schaefer. And he makes those phone calls and talks to the guys, meets them at the open house or the dinner, and then we take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the other part of it. You know, we could get them to line up and make phone calls and do lead generation, and we could have 100 guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have 100 guys who want
to
talk.
Capacity
but if you don't have guys who know how to make the phone calls, talk to them, yeah. bring them in, and get them to sit down and fill out a petition, you're still just spinning your wheel. So there's phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four.
You're in phase one, which is you got to do all the work.
You got it, right.
Unfortunately.
I'm okay with that. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I run my own company.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know,
you're
that's
no
right.
stranger, and that's the kind of person that needs to be in that role.
Honestly. And then all of a sudden, the naysayers are so happy, and they want to get credit for all the work as well.
We're
and
in
then,
phase two now, because John and you came through the program.
Right, we did.
And now you're perpetuating
Wait. You guys were actually brought in
yeah,
through...
Yeah, both of them.
Both of us were,
guys.
Yeah.
Wow, that's,
yeah.
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
We had 7, 5, and 4 groups that came through, bam, 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 all at one time. You were group two. And then we folded into group one.
Guys into the fraternity.
So what were you doing with budget? Like, what are you spending on this?
We spend about $50 a month.
$50 a month. And that generates 3 to 4 petitions,
That
probably?
Generates 3 petitions a month. Yeah.
Out of what?
How you many, get about 20 leads? 20 leads.
And so you're getting a 5 to 10% conversion rate
yes.
on leads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
But you have
why isn't the whole craft doing this?
Well, it's starting, but I'm gonna say it again.
Because
you will break the lodge. You will break it. If you turn this thing on and leave it on, and you don't do any of the phase two, phase three, and phase four, you will break the lodge. You will not have enough catechism instructors. You will not have enough mentors.
No.
And that's the problem we had. Cadillac problems
problem.
Coming from your perspective.
Yeah.
You'd love to have problems like that.
We got uptown
problems. that's an embarrassing wealth of luxury.
Of problems.
We brought in another generation behind these guys. And
yeah.
John is training one of them to do calls with them.
Right.
So it's
right.
going to perpetuate itself, and it's going to snowball the more you do, but it took 3 years of me doing the hard work myself,
right.
and you're
that's and that's where you're at.
You're gonna have to do the hard work yourself
for
a little
you know,
while.
You're talking 4 or 5% of engagement to desired
yes.
outcome, which is a
yes.
world class marketing outcome.
Oh yeah, yeah, it works
is,
like gangbusters.
You know
man.
How much
no
it
mistake.
Costs the lodge? $0.
$0.
Man,
it costs them
$0.
Nothing.
Because the Grand Lodge reimburses
yeah.
the monthly.
Right.
Budget.
Yeah. Right. So this year, 2024, and that's what I was saying earlier about Providence. It is not an accident that we have come to know you, brother, mm-hmm. Jonathan, because I think that this 2024 is the year that OTL, On the Level, podcast, takes this entire thing. Johnny, I'm looking at you over there because you're OTL executive producer again. No mic for Johnny. And we take this to the next level, you know, and I can see it in your eyes, man. I mean, I know you're in. I know you're in. We can take this thing to the next level, and every single lodge in the state of Florida and beyond is going to know what this program can do, and they're going to have an opportunity to say yes to it. Mm-hmm. They may not. Some lodges may not choose not to, but everybody's going to get an opportunity to hear from us.
Yeah. The reality of this is this is what's working for us right now. This isn't going to work forever. It's going to constantly change.
That's right.
And
you have to
be flexible to move with it.
Well, you're an agency owner, so you get this, and a marketing agency owner. You probably get this in a way that most people don't. So
right.
I'm just going to unpack it for a second. Right.
Go ahead.
In the beginning, when you're trying to establish the efficacy of a given thing, whether it's a business offer or a new product, what you have to do is demand generation,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's usually done through paid traffic. And the point is to validate the concept.
Right.
Right. But what we're talking about now, you've already validated the concept
yes.
of this work. So we can extrapolate that to every lodge in Florida, and we should.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you know, as a business develops and gains notoriety and I dare say preeminence,
mm-hmm.
as you move closer to preeminence, you should be sourcing far more business or far more outcomes from organic activity than you are from paid activity. So that's the next level.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what I've just done, and I'd just love to get an opinion from some educated guys, right?
All right. Well, when we find some, we'll let you know. Go ahead.
John can't hear, but he's the only one here.
John's kind of educated.
And he doesn't have a mic.
So I built a website. It's not a lodge website in the way that you think.
Okay.
It's not oceanview408.com, you know. It's oceanviewcommunity.com.
Okay.
Okay. And so what I did is I aggregated all the events from the north side of Jacksonville onto this webpage. Then I created forums that are, you know, reviews of all the schools in the local area, all the events in the local area, all of the, you know, churches in the local area, reviews and commentary. And if you know anything about SEO, which I know
I do,
I know some of you do, in 6 months' time, I'll own every Google query related to the north side of Jacksonville.
Right.
If I'm prolific about creating content and continuing to curate all of this information, which honestly is a suck. I'm not going to lie. It does take 3 or 4 hours a week, you know, but.
Right. Yeah. And you're getting nothing out of it in the beginning.
Not yet. Right?
Yeah.
But if I do that for enough time, I will eventually own every query related to the north side of Jacksonville. Now I skin the bottom of the website and the sidebars and the navigation menus with Freemasonry. So this website brought to you by Ocean View Lodge number 408. Here's what Freemasonry is about.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you can get involved. Here are the particular requirements, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then I went a step further and created a code or a page, how to be a Mason.
Yeah.
And created a QR code, put it on the back of a business card, printed like 1,000 of them, gave it to all the brothers and said, go and spread the word, right?
So what you've done is the equivalency for the people that don't have a marketing degree out there. Of taking your lodge's table and sign out in front of every major business in your community and manned it with a Mason who's out there yelling, hey, come and check out this school. It's a really good school.
Yeah.
Right.
And people go by and they're like, they see a Freemason as they walk into the school. And sooner or later, someone's going to be like, hey, who are you? What are you doing out here?
Exactly.
That's essentially what you're going to
say.
Hey,
my dad was a Freemason.
Everybody's idea for how to get more people in the lodge was let's replace the signs. And I'm thinking, all right, we're missing the point. Nothing wrong with that. We should do that. It should look excellent.
You mean in the front of the lodge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the extent possible, it should look excellent. And of course, we're very grateful for that. And it's something that we ought to do. But when you're talking about discovery, you have to go where people are. Nobody knows to search for you. They don't know that they're missing Freemasonry from their life. They know that they're missing community and brotherhood. And
that was me. I didn't have any friends.
Right.
I wanted friends. You know?
They know that they could stand to level up their morality, become a better person, develop their character.
Right.
But they don't know where to get that, and they're not going to search for Freemasonry. Nobody's going to type Ocean View Lodge 408.
Right.
And then come and become a member. That just isn't how it works.
No.
So you have to be where they are, and where they are is what's the best school in Oceanway? What's the best grocery store in Oceanway? What events are going on the north side of Jacksonville today? And if you can own that conversation, then you win the right to inject Freemasonry into it and say, hey, by the way, this is who's curating this information for you. Come and find out about it.
Yeah.
And if you've already have it in your mind, if you've already have your hand up, I would be interested in more information. Well, then bam, Right. As soon as there are, you got them. You got them because it's already in there.
Yeah, we have Sarasota147.org, which is a website for our lodge.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a lot of petitions from the website, but what we do get are a lot of Masons who have moved to our city that are looking for Freemasonry, and they compare our website to the other lodges, and they're like, yeah, I liked your website the most, and that's why they call us. And it also works where, like, people on Facebook see our ad, and they say they're interested, and then they check us out on the website, and it kind of reaffirms that we're real. They see the pictures, they see our community stuff, and it's like, okay, this is safe.
Well, so that's modern, like, consumer decision making, isn't it?
Yeah,
the idea of a single,
they want to fact check everything and double check that you're legit.
The idea of a single encounter resulting in conversion in a modern business environment is patently false. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
So they're going to find you on Facebook, then they're going to Google your website, then they're going to look at your Instagram, and then they're going to look you up on YouTube.
Yep.
And if they like what they see in all those places, then they're going to come back to your website.
Right.
Actually, they're going to have FOMO.
Right.
If that's what you really want.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out.
Right.
They're like, I'm missing out on all this fun stuff that's happening around me.
Right.
I could be doing this stuff.
So the way to do this is to tell stories. Don't even market Freemasonry. Don't even talk about the benefits of the craft. Tell stories of the brothers who are out there engaging in the community, having an impact.
Yeah.
You know, this changed my life. I saved my marriage. I leveled up my character. I helped 100 kids get shoes for school. Or what is the impact on the community? That stuff is compelling. People want to engage with stories. They want to, that's how you create FOMO. Really.
It's true. Because they want what other people have.
Yeah. Well, and because they don't have it.
Right.
You know, and that's what they're looking for. And again, if
there are some common themes, because John and I have talked to thousands of people interested in Masonry at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Fair to say, he's shaking his head. Yes, he doesn't have a mic, by the way.
Here,
going to keep selling that. There are some common themes. One of them is people want to be around good people,
right?
And they don't find that out in the world. They don't find it in the traditional institutions that we have in our societies. They don't find it in their church the way they used to. They don't have it in, like, social clubs that they used to have. So they know that through our ads that we're running, that's one of our common themes, is that you want to be a better person and you want to be around good people. The only way you can be better is to be around people better than you, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. So what are you actually using for video creative?
So the northern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite has produced some really high-quality videos
about
Freemasonry.
Not just the man, a Mason?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've actually put all of them out on our Facebook page already.
You're familiar with those, like, three or four?
Yeah.
There's long versions and short versions.
Yeah, so it's really good.
We use the short versions, and we customize the beginning of the video with, like, Freemasonry in Sarasota.
Okay, so you slap bookends on it.
And then at the end, it's our lodge contact info, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's really
easy.
That's
high
really
quality. Yeah. Very professional. And it's all the themes of brotherly love, right? Being a better man and being part of something bigger than yourself.
And just targeting is just zip code targeting?
No.
Males?
It's a radius around the lodge. Males of, we go a little older because it's hard for guys just out of high school or in college to be too engaged. So we go like 25 to 65 plus.
25-mile radius around a singular zip code or
so
a singular
So that depends
address.
On the lodge.
Yeah.
We're
in
a pretty densely populated city, Sarasota, and there are four lodges if we go in a 25-mile radius, which is okay. We've sent Masons to every one of those lodges.
Right.
You just have to behave conscientiously with whatever,
I mean,
whatever leads you.
We're Masons.
Yeah. We're Masons.
And if you live closer to that lodge and you work closer to that lodge, let me give you that master's number because I think you'll really like this guy in that
and,
lodge.
And that fosters a lot more unity between the lodges as well.
You make a lot of friends in the district that way.
You do.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
And then I'm responsible for him. I want to be a his degree.
Right. Yeah.
And I have now a relationship with him too that means something to the person because nowhere else in society does anyone care about you.
Yeah. I think it would be really nice to be successful in my particular lodge. But raising the tide for all lodges.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
Well, you got to get the small win. They see you win, and then they want to know, and then you can finally get somebody in their lodge to do the same thing, and you can help them.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, guys, we got 12 minutes left.
What?
That's right. We got a monkey suit up, and we got to get over to Potomac number 5, and we got to be on time because we are going to be there for an installation and the gavel presentation. So
yes, I think there's a big after party too.
And there's a little bit of an after party thing. I'm not sure what that's all about. You know me and parties. But anyway, so brother, give us kind of what's the future for you? What are you looking for here? I mean, I know we talked about marketing
take over
and stuff.
The universe.
But that's, I mean, personally, global. What are you, other than taking over the universe, which is
global
what we're trying
domination.
To do as well. Yes, take over the world.
All men will kneel before him.
I just keep thinking of Pinky and the Brain every time you do that, man. Nah. Which one? Am I Pinky or am I the Brain? Johnny, what am I? Am I Pinky over here?
He doesn't have a mic. He cannot tell
he
you.
He cannot talk. Good. Yeah, he said you're Pinky. Anyway,
makes sense.
So kind of get us out of here, man. As a new Mason, passionate for the craft, where are you going? What are you going to do when you get back on Monday or back to your lodge next time? What are you taking away from all this?
Well, we got stated communication on Tuesday.
Yeah?
So the very first thing that I have to do is go in there and start making an argument for them to release these funds so I can do this marketing reimbursement thing.
So that's your passion right now. That's what you're focusing on.
Look, my passion is for the craft to be perpetuated and developed.
I love it.
You know, it's been such a beautiful windfall of just, you know, guidance and character development for me that I want to perpetuate it in any way that I can. And this mm-hmm. is what I'm gifted at. This is what I'm talented
absolutely,
to
absolutely
do.
Right.
And so when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? So,
right.
So I'm going to get started hammering in some nails to the extent that I'm able to do so. But I don't know, man. I think I have a future here. Like I seem to be able to.
Oh,
do.
You definitely do. We didn't attend a dinner last night. Bad on us. But I hear that you got randomly tapped to do a toast in front of all the brothers, the grandmaster, future grandmasters, and you rose to the occasion from what I heard, unprepared.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's very kind of you. I'll tell you what I said since we have a few minutes left.
That would be great.
We do have a few minutes left.
It's paraphrasing, but what I said was we had visited Arlington National Cemetery yesterday.
Yeah, that's great.
And laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and we did a drawing to see who got to participate in that. And I was just very lucky to have been selected.
We posted video on our Facebook page of you doing that.
Yeah, right.
And as a Mason, it's really only been raised for half a year. It's an incredible honor to, you know, even be in the presence
absolutely.
Of the Grandmaster generally, but to participate in something like that, and especially moving for me because I'm an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, and I have four or five friends that are interred in Arlington National Cemetery, so. Mm. You know, one of the brothers came to me and apparently this is a thing when Mason's dying out. I didn't know because this is my first time, but there's a toast every 10 minutes or every 5 minutes.
Depending on where you're at. Right. Yeah,
so
and who you're with.
He comes to me and says, brother, since you're the youngest Mason in the room, we'd love to have you make a toast. And I said, all right, let's do it. So I got up and what I said was, you know, I want to reflect for a moment on what we did earlier at Arlington because I have four or five friends who are interred there. Who died in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, when I was there as well. And in most cases, they were much better men than me. Mm-hmm. You know, they're better men. They run faster. They're stronger. They can do more push-ups. They can ruck more weight. They shoot better than me. Like almost to the man, they were better than me in every conceivable way. And I made it and they didn't. And you could very easily go down the rabbit hole of survivor's guilt and say, you know, and beat yourself up for why you lived and they died. I think the better way to take it is as an indictment or as a challenge.
To be better yourself?
To now I need to live in such a way that I become as good or better that, you know, and have the impact that they could have had throughout their lives.
To earn it.
And
take
that on as a mandate and shift my mindset to legacy.
Okay.
And then I turned around and to all the elder brothers in the room, who was everybody, because, you know, I'm the youngest, and said, and as you guys climb through the ranks and attain all of this wisdom and accomplishment and a lot of, you know, very accomplished brothers in the room who've done great things for the craft. And as you teach me and invest time in me, you are ensuring your legacy.
Yeah.
And then I, in turn, get to internalize that information and turn around and try to ensure my legacy by passing it. And in this way, we all become grandmasters, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I said, more or less. I mean, paraphrasing.
Right. But, yeah. Well, it went over big, man. And I'm not even going to discuss how upset I am that we missed it. And I'm going to continue to blame myself. Yeah.
Nobody's stopping you from blaming yourself, apparently. It got real quiet. But John doesn't have a mic, so I don't know. Maybe.
Anyways, Jonathan, it has been an absolute pleasure to get to know you and meet you, brother. Like I said, this is a providential meeting. I know we are going to do more great things in the future.
Yeah.
And one of the things we have the privilege to do is to give people a voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I personally am careful about who we do bring on the show.
Right.
Fred's much more open than I am. he's more interested in talking to more people, but I'm very picky.
Yeah.
And I know I realize what we are doing here. People are listening now.
A lot of people are listening.
I don't want to just give anybody access to that platform. But
you
when we find someone like
sorts.
Yourself, who you have good intentions and you have the skills to do the things you're saying, and you have the passion and enthusiasm you've already started, this is like a huge honor to us to have someone like you on the show.
Absolutely.
Well,
because
the honor's
mine, you're
going to
be a big
you.
Shot here someday.
That's
and
right.
We're going to go back to that one podcast where we introduced you to the fraternity.
That's right. That's
like,
right.
Hey, we discovered this guy.
And the glory will be ours. All right. Woo!
You're welcome.
We're all about that. You're welcome, brother. Well,
everything you ever do will be because of us.
Well, yep. before we go, man. I want to invite you January 13th to come down to Sarasota, Sahib Shrine in Sarasota, and come to our symposium.
Okay.
Symposium. That we're putting on. It's an 8-hour day education and dinner and drinks.
Danny Reyes from New York will be a speaker. Juan Sepulveda will be a speaker.
Oh,
Daniel
wow.
Molina out of Miami will be speaking about Stoicism and Freemasonry.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Our keynote speaker.
Correspondence with the Divine is what Juan Sepulveda is talking
about. Really enjoy it.
Right Worshipful Talia Tal is going to be there talking about the future.
And he's doing,
it's not just them preaching. We're doing it. They do their presentation. Then they sit down for 45 minutes and we do the podcast
together
with the audience.
Right.
The audience gets to ask questions.
It's really good. Yeah. I'll be there if you guys send me an invite or something. So
You can go online and you can too, listener. You can go online and
on the level with Fred and Chris.com.
On the level with Fred and Chris.com.
Get your tickets on Eventbrite. They're $50. For $50, you get all day education. You get a buffet meal, which is going to be beef, mashed potatoes, a good meal.
Yeah, it's going to be real good.
And a free drink ticket because it's at the Shrine.
And they got a big, beautiful tiki hut out there with a fully stocked bar.
After party.
After party with Three Ruffian cigars will be on hand.
They will have a booth. You'll be able to buy Three
Absolutely.
Ruffian cigars.
And Jonathan, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Brother Chris, we're on our way out again, and give us something. Send us home. What's on your mind, man?
Nothing, man. I'm just really happy to get to meet new brothers in the fraternity. That this kind of stuff is really special. Like when we were recording the first night, I mean, there's brothers whose names I'd never heard.
Right, yeah.
And now I know them, and they're my friend, and they're my brother. And this is why you have to travel in Freemasonry.
That's right.
You can't just sit in your lodge and make that the whole of the fraternity. You got to get out there and meet people because that's where the magic happens.
That's right. Yeah. And that's,
like we came here, we met you. You know, you're going to be able to do great things in the future. And hopefully we can be a part of that.
Well, yeah,
you guys,
that's right.
You guys are doing it. So I'm just trying to be like you. It's a great pleasure.
But don't try to be like us. Try to be like Johnny.
Yes.
But don't try to be like us.
John. Well, he is John.
And you know, that's what we say.
Jonathan.
Say it all the time. The question that we're asking this year, 2024, the question of the podcast is, does Masonry have something to offer to this hurting country? And we believe it does.
Only
many, many answers for the young man out there who doesn't know who he is, doesn't know where to go, has no men in his life to help him become a better man. Well, Freemasonry has something to offer to you. And if you're listening right now and you're curious about it, go down to your local lodge. I'm going to say it three times. Go down to your local lodge and talk.
How do I know where my local lodge is? Just Google Freemason Lodge near
me. Yep, that's right.
You'll see it.
Go down there and tell them a couple of knuckleheads on a podcast told me to come down here and ask you guys about Freemasonry.
Don't mention us because we want them to let you in.
Yeah. Don't say you know us, all right? Yeah, don't do that. But tell them you want to know something more about the fraternity and get involved, and you won't regret it. I don't know of a Mason. I don't know of one Mason since I've started this who regretted the day they walked through those hallowed doors, man, and became part of this fraternity, man, a worldwide fraternity of men. everywhere we go in this country, everyone we talk to in this country, it's like a brother I've known for 20 years. Yeah. Jonathan, okay. I talk to you. I look at you. I talk to you. It's as if we've known each other for a long, long time. Right. And that's what this is about. And that's what this offers.
So the alcohol helps.
If you've listened, the alcohol does help. If you've listened, rubbing alcohol. If you have listened to this podcast to this point, you are a hero of our show. And we really appreciate it. So
I think we should give John the closing.
Please. Johnny doesn't want to say anything. The end.
The end.
Oh, the end.
That's a good one.
All right. We got to go put our monkey suits on and drive across D.C. To go to Potomac number 5 installation. It's going to be a great time. Tonight, afterwards, we're hoping to get back on the mic and do some more broadcasting. I'm going to be up for that, man. I'm going to drink me a bunch of coffee after drinking a bunch of whiskey. And then we are just going to hit the mic, and we're going to go nutso and bring some content. So stay tuned, my friends.
Maybe we can get into these three ruffian cigars, too.
We can get some three ruffian cigars. We will definitely get into those. We've got plenty. So anyways, we love you guys, man. Stay true to yourself and to your lodge, and we will see you guys on the next one.